Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. When vape pens first came out, they were marketed as a healthier alternative to smoking. But as more research has come out about the long-term effects of vaping, it's complicated that narrative. Here in Milwaukee, the dangers of vaping came into focus when several teens were hospitalized with lung damage related to vaping. For teenager Luca Kynard, the impacts of vaping went far beyond his health. Kynard says his vaping addiction became all-consuming. His grades plummeted, his mood became erratic, and eventually he had a grand mal seizure. His addiction landed him in rehab. Now Kynard talks to groups of students about the dangers of vaping. Before the pandemic, Kynard was scheduled to speak with students at Milwaukee area schools through FACT, a Wisconsin-based anti-tobacco organization. Instead, Kynard is speaking with students virtually. He joins me from his home in North Carolina, and we're also joined by Nia Camera, one of the co-founders of the FACT group at Shorewood High School. Nia, Luca, thank you both so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, no problem.
So, Luca, you describe yourself as a former teen vaping addict. Of course, you're also a current teenager. But what was it about vaping that you initially found attractive?
When I was first doing it, I was 14 years old, and I was a freshman in high school. For me, the first time ever doing it was a ticket to the front row seats at a football game. It was kind of easy access to have a connection with somebody in high school, you know. I see somebody in the crowd and they have a vape and I do too. We automatically have something in common. So for me, it was just an easy middle ground to start a relationship with somebody, or a friendship, if you will.
Yeah, you know, as I was going through, some of the information about your life, you say it really impacted your schoolwork. You went from being an A student to an F student, and it had this really transformative impact on who you were. What was it about this addiction that caused this pretty drastic change?
It was definitely my focus had changed, you know. Instead of school being a 7 to 8 hour period, you know, where you go to learn, you have a few classes in between where you get your work done. That was a 7 to 8 hour period where I had to hide from my teachers and hide from my peers. So people didn't see what I was doing. I was constantly hiding. So instead of, you know, in the classroom focusing on my work, I'd be focusing more on, is the teacher going to catch me? Or when I go home, I'd be more worried about how I'm going to get my fix and where I'm going to do it instead of really doing my work, which is the exact opposite of what I used to do. I used to be a straight-A student. So it's just completely, my focus had changed entirely.
Yeah, you can't really vape in front of people. I mean, it's different from cigarettes, of course. The smell is different. The ability to do it in different places is different, but still you can't really do it in front of teachers. What was a regular day like for you when you were addicted to vaping?
A regular day for me, you know, wake up at 6:45 or 7 in the morning, and first thing I do is get my morning buzz. I would sit there and I would hit it a few times, and then I would go downstairs. I would eat my food, you know, brush my teeth, and then I would have maybe 15 minutes left before I got to go to school. I would sit there outside of my window looking out at the street, and I would hit it. And then I would go to school. School for the first maybe 15 minutes was out in the courtyard about to go into class. And I'd sit there going around to all the cars in the senior parking lot trying to get people's vapes to hit. And then I go to class. That's when the day is really hectic for me because I'm constantly trying to get something to hit if I didn't have my own. Going in and out of the bathroom, head down in the class, falling asleep, staying awake. And then I walk home from school doing the same thing when I'm walking home. And then when I get home, first thing I do is I barricade myself in my room and I start vaping for the rest of the night until I leave the house. That was my typical day.
So this is something that was really consuming most of your life. And, you know, we already talked about the fact it had a big impact on who you were emotionally, how you were doing in your schoolwork. But there were also physical impacts of this addiction. How did it impact you physically?
There was many different physical changes that happened to my body at that time. You know, nicotine is a stimulant, so it's keeping you awake, and that's what I would use it for. I would say I was doing it for my homework, but really I was just trying to catch up on whatever social media I was on or just staying up for whatever reason. And, you know, the only time you grow during the day is when you're asleep. So when you're staying up every single night, you know, and only getting 2 to 3 hours of sleep, you're not growing. So my growth is stunted. I stayed the same height, same weight. But when I went to rehab for 39 days, not 39 days, I grew 2 inches and I gained 10 pounds. So just that alone was a change. I also had a seizure from vaping for 6 minutes. It was a grand mal seizure. It's the only seizure I've ever had. Never had one before, never had one after. And I also had an inflamed chest wall from vaping.
Wow. So, you know, you mentioned you had a seizure. For you, was that the final straw?
No, it was not the final straw. My attitude at the time about the seizure was, leave me alone about it. You know, people were constantly asking me, how's my health, and genuinely concerned and interested about what was going on with me. I really pushed that away. So for the next 2 months of my life, I just pushed everybody away. I really didn't want anybody to see me, talk to me. It really just sparked me just to go down a worse path at the time, just because of my poor attitude. But the last straw was when I went to rehab 2 months later.
Did your parents make you go to rehab?
They sure did. Yeah. They told me the night before, pack your bags, you're going to go to rehab for 8 days in California. When I got there to rehab, however, I was told, you know, you're going to be here 35 to 45 days, or you can be here for 90. So I automatically knew that they had lied to me about it being 8 days. Thankfully, they did, though, because they knew I would never have gotten on that plane if I had known how long it was going to be. So 8 days, we're just going to call that a little sprinkle of a lie.
Well, now you've become an advocate, of course, and we're joined in this conversation by Nia Camera, who's from right around here in the Milwaukee area. Vaping is not something that is, of course, site-specific. It's something that we're dealing with in high schools throughout the country. Nia, what is vaping like at your high school?
That's a good question. So vaping at my school, I would define it as crazy. Because literally, like, I cannot go to the bathroom without smelling, like, vape or without seeing four legs in a stall. At my school, at Sherwood High School, a lot of kids do vaping, whether it's in the bathroom, the library, sneaking in a classroom. I would call it a distraction to learning because kids just vape. They think it's cool. Literally in class, well, when we were in class, I was walking into my comp for college class and all I saw was like a Juul pod on the floor. And I was like, hey, this is not cool. So vaping is just really not good.
Tell us a bit about this organization that you helped found at your school, FACT.
So FACT is a group that spreads the truth about tobacco for 7th through 12th graders. We do these activities called FACTivism, where we take a fact about tobacco and it has activism in them. So my friends, the founders, we at first started this group in like the Milwaukee area. And then we were like, hey, we should like literally move this to our school. And so we decided to do facts at our school, at Sherwood High School.
So this is really a question for both you, Nia, and Luca. What are some of the things that people just fundamentally misunderstand about specifically vaping versus cigarettes, but tobacco use in general?
To answer the first question about what they miss about vaping compared to smoking is a lot of people believe that vaping is better than smoking. Unfortunately, there's this big belief that vaping does not have nicotine in it, when in fact it does. And even if there's a no nicotine product, even if there's a no nicotine vape juice, which there are, and still dangerous for the fact of there's so many different things that go into it. You know, the chemicals that are used, the metal alloys are going into your lungs. So I think that's the biggest thing that people miss is that vaping is safer than tobacco. None of it's safe. And just because something is safer does not mean that it is safe. That's the biggest thing that they would miss.
Yeah, and also to go on from what Luca said, people like my friends, they believe like it's cleaner and safer than smoking a cigarette. Because all you have to do is like charge it and just smoke it. They just think it's like safer and cleaner than smoking a regular cigarette.
Again, this is a question for both of you. Do you feel like there's a lot of pushback from other teenagers, from other students, when you talk to them about these dangers?
Do you mean like they don't believe like when we say like it's bad?
Yeah, they maybe don't believe you. They maybe get, you know, defensive about why it is healthier.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Yes, absolutely. Gosh, there are so many like prime examples I could share with you. They're incredible. So I've spoken to countless schools across the United States, and I've sat there and had kids tell me to my face, you know, somebody who vapes versus somebody who doesn't vape, their lungs would be better if they were vaping. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know? So there's definitely this huge like cult following of people who vape. So yeah, there's a lot of pushback. I think a lot of it is stemmed from people are afraid because it's like, you know, my nicotine fix or my addiction might be taken away from me. So I think it's just a lot of fear of losing out on it.
Also going on from what Luca said, I would say totally yes. Because like, even when I tell my friends like vaping is dumb and it's really like not healthy, they still say, oh, I don't really care. Like, it's fine. Nothing's happened to me. Like, they don't believe.
You know, both of you have spoken with other students in your lives and students at other schools as well. What do you think is some of the most convincing information, the convincing facts that you bring with you that make people believe, you know, maybe this isn't so safe, maybe this isn't so good?
So for one of my projects, for one of my classes, it was a persuasive presentation that we had to give, and I did a presentation on like why Juul is bad and you shouldn't do it. And at first when I did it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so stupid. No one's going to believe me. And so I provided like statistics on Juul. And then the main like point of view in the presentation was vaping and e-cigs. Is like some of the devices can like blow up. And I provided videos of e-cigs devices blowing up in like, people in my class were like, wow, I did not know that could happen. So some of them, but not all of them, were like persuaded about e-cigs.
Wow, so having them blow up, that's what said to them, oh, maybe these aren't safe.
Yeah.
For me, when I present, you know, I go through my whole story with addiction, very, very in-depth. But I think, you know, what really gets people drawn to it, maybe changes a lot of their minds, that really I talk about the stuff that people don't want to talk about, which is our emotions and our feelings, which is the last thing a teenager wants to deal with. It's really something we kind of run away from as humans, but especially as teenagers. It's because it's figuring out who you are, which is a really uncomfortable thing. And I talk about those emotions that are tied into it, you know, talking about how when I was doing it, I was so ashamed and I felt like I was a mistake because I was making mistakes, and how like progressively throughout it, I started to find really who I was and, you know, be more comfortable in my own skin. So I guess it's that kind of shedding your skin and really just shining at the end of it. I think that's a lot of what really brings a lot of attention to my story from teenagers.
Yeah. Well, Luca, Nia, thank you both so much for joining me from both of your homes and talking about this issue.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Luca Kynard is a student and anti-vaping advocate, and Nia Camera is one of the founders of FACT at Shorewood High School. Kynard was scheduled to tour Milwaukee area schools to talk to students about his experience with vaping addiction. These talks were moved online in light of school closures due to this pandemic.